always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this stressful, I'm going to call it stressful, Tuesday afternoon, I guess late morning for you guys on the West Coast, by you guys. Normally I would have Harrison here, but I think the plan is for he and I to record another episode either later this evening or tomorrow or something like that as we start to get more, you know, other news. This is a kind of special episode, right? A breaking news episode. Like I always promise you guys, if we get breaking news, I go on the air and talk it out with you guys. If you guys see me staring out to the side here, it's because my texts are right off screen, right over here. So we will talk about some of the messages maybe that I get over the course of the show. And yeah, we're just going to kind of hash this one out. According to Shams Charania and Chris Haynes and several other reporters, LeBron James has told the Los Angeles Lakers to move on without him. Carry out the rest of your offseason. I'm not coming back. I'm taking my talents to the East Bay. I don't know where he's going, but as it stands right now, the Lakers, who, let's be frank, planned for this all along anyway, are moving forward with their cap space plan, it would appear. And we'll see to what, end that plan actually, works out. We will, talk about the decisions leading up to this. We've already seen the beginnings of the leak off here between LeBron / Clutch and the Lakers. We've seen them get into a leak off before. We've seen them get into, this kind of, back and forth in the media before. And I think we'll probably see a little bit of it again. And we'll see how that plays out too. We'll also talk about the Lakers options now at center, now that we kind of know that it is the cap space plan. That's fine. You can go with air quotes on plan if you want, Mac. But the Lakers, let's go ahead, set the intro. We'll come back here and I'll tell you about how we arrived here. So, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. And then if you guys are listening to the show when it drops via podcast, please subscribe wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but they are all perfectly fine with me. And then as always, today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and you will get $50 worth of Prize Picks lineups when you sign up. Use that promo code and make a $5 lineup of your own. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in with how we got here. All right, so Rich Paul sends out a group text to all of the big reporters. LeBron has told the Lakers to move on. He's not going back there. There was a report over the last 24 hours or so, I think, but Ramona Shelburne talked about the meeting that Rob Pelinka had with Luka Doncic, where he had a binder about all the Lakers options and how those options had everything to do with the cap space that they would get if LeBron James departed via free agency, right? And how that would open up the, 50 something million dollars worth of cap space. Now they also have to renounce Rui or re-sign him to a low figure to have access to that cap space, all of it. But regardless, Rob very clearly kind of outlined to Luka Doncic that The Lakers' plans moving forward as they usher in the Doncic era did not involve LeBron James. This has been something that Pete has been crystal clear about here for a while, about this, what this being what he thought was the plan. And you know, I got a text, you know, after this all went down, that was also really clear, Lakers' choice. So again, this is where you're going to get this leak off between LeBron's people who want it to seem as if LeBron is leaving on his terms and Lakers people who want to make it seem as if they have this grand plan that will live up to not just our expectations is one thing, and fans' expectations, mine, like those expectations are completely kind of secondary to Luka's expectations. And if you're Luka Doncic, and in order for the Lakers to, you know, carry out this plan, it had to start. It needed to start by saying goodbye to LeBron James, and I guess also saying goodbye to Marcus Smart and anybody else whose contract it wasn't on the books going into the summer. If you're Luka, I'm looking at Rob right now being like, all right, we knew we went into this offseason. We knew that we weren't good enough by a lot, honestly. Got swept by OKC. Yeah, Luka didn't play in that series, but I don't think Luka playing in that series would have changed how that thing was going to go. Maybe the Lakers win an extra game or two, but it, I think, and you know, OKC was clearly better. San Antonio, clearly better. New York is clearly better. The Lakers had a lot of work to do. They needed to add talent to the group that they already had last year, right? And they have started this offseason so far by removing talent from their roster, which now means you have to add enough talent and productivity to make up for LeBron's departure, to make up for Marcus Smart's departure, to make up for Rui Hachimura's potential departure. You need to add enough talent to your roster to make up for those guys just to break even, let alone you now have to add enough talent to get to even, and then you need to close that gap, which is supposedly what was promised to Luka Doncic back when this plan was outlined to him. That plan, by the way, featured Giannis potentially. It featured benefiting from a Giannis trade. Neither of those things have come to fruition either. So like in terms of like how to feel about this, like separate from this leak off that we're about to get between the Lakers and LeBron, frankly, I hope the Lakers don't participate in any kind of leak off here, because their focus needs to be executing this plan, and every ounce of their focus needs to be executing this plan, and any other errant energy spent is, I think, you know, terms for disaster. So we'll see how this goes. But as far as, you know, like LeBron, like here's the timeline as I've pieced it together. Lakers go into this offseason and their focus has been centers. Get Luka Doncic the A-list center that he very clearly wants. That's how Rob Pelinka saves his job. That's how the Lakers start to maximize the Luka Doncic era. LeBron went into this offseason wanting clarity. What's the deal here? What's the plan? Should I be waiting? Should I be doing this? Is it even worth it for me to wait around for this? Like, what's the deal? And the Lakers just left him on red, is what it sounds like. You know, for, you know, while they have been focused on landing Kessler, and LeBron and his people did not like that. You saw recently these efforts to remind the Lakers, hello, yep, LeBron James sitting right over here. And it just didn't matter. And finally, you know, as Chris Haynes reported yesterday, LeBron and the Lakers finally had a chat. And the conversation consisted of, we're still focused on the center and we need cap space in order to land the center that we want. And either the Lakers were going to renounce LeBron outright in order to open up that cap space, or LeBron could make it seem like it's on his terms and he can basically say, fine, I'm out. Renounce me then, you know, and it's just a matter of who does what first. You know, now we kind of move forward that way. Now, as far as the stuff that I've been hearing going into the summer, I do believe that the Lakers saw LeBron as a contingency plan if their efforts to land a center didn't go well. And by that, I mean the Lakers could have him on their books as they seek whatever intel they can possibly get on Utah's interest in matching a big offer sheet for Kessler. And if it turns out that Utah and Detroit are just going to match whatever offer sheet is presented on their guy, then the Lakers would probably have traded for a Miles Turner or traded for a Jared Allen, either utilizing, you know, the Vando, Dalton, Ayton combination of contracts and draft assets. And now you go into next season with that center, LeBron, Luka, Austin, and whoever else fills out the rest of your roster. And I thought a very telling moment in a very telling series of events to me was that the Lakers were so focused on as much salary cap as they can possibly get their hands on, cap space that they can get their hands on, that they said goodbye to Marcus Smart, a critical part of their team and culture and defense last year. They said goodbye to him because he came in at above what they budgeted for him. So, or was, it seems like is going to come in at what they budgeted for him. So it was very kind of clear throughout all of this what the Lakers saw as their plan. And then what you have to do, and if you're in my predicament, is balance that against what you're hearing from LeBron people. And then you also, in my case, and this is where being a fan slash reporter slash podcaster slash opinion giver, all of that, you know, kind of muddies the waters here too, because I'm weighing the stuff that I'm hearing against what I want to hear. Because what I've wanted all along is for LeBron James to be back. I don't see a path to the Lakers getting as good as they need to get without LeBron on the roster next year. I just don't see it. And we will see, you know, what comes of all of this, and we will see how right or wrong I prove to be on that front. But I think part of the reason that I stuck so steadfast with my guns of, yeah, I still think it's going to be LeBron back at 2 years, $50 million, is because it's what I wanted to have happen the most. And it's not how it's going to play out. LeBron is departing. I'm sure we're going to get, you know, word. The Lakers just sent a farewell tweet to LeBron James. So that probably, you know, signals that they have renounced his free agent rights and he's going to go off on his way. And we'll talk about, you know, potential destinations and which destinations make the most sense for LeBron and which destinations make the most sense for the Lakers, and the middle ground of all of that stuff. So let's go ahead and discuss this cap space plan that the Lakers are now fully committed to. LeBron James entered this summer with a cap hold that absolutely, you know, ran head first against the Lakers' plans of operating with cap space. And one of my hopes was, as this cap space plan was playing out and doesn't appear to be working out to the extent that the Lakers wanted it to, one of my hopes was that the Lakers would pivot and use up a little of that cap space by signing LeBron to a smaller number and opening up some of that cap space by way of converting his big cap hold into like half of that number, and then having half of the cap space now left over, which you would open up by renouncing Rui. It doesn't appear that that was ever a possibility. And now the Lakers, you know, continue on kind of sort of unabated. You know, I don't think today surprised them by any means. And I am of the opinion, this is my opinion, this is not even a educated guess, but this is my opinion, but their only path forward to me is making such a big offer to Walker Kessler right at the beginning of the moratorium that would force Utah to either say goodbye to Kessler or eventually be faced with Keyonte George being too expensive, Lauri Markkanen, Jaren Jackson Jr., Walker Kessler, all those guys being too expensive. I would also, as part of, you know, this speculation on my part, Yusuf Nurkic signs that contract yesterday. And it was a contract that surprised some of the people that I talked to around the league. And it surprised them because it was like, yeah, he was pretty good for them last year, but that is a really expensive front court. They signed Nurkic to like a 2-year, $22 million deal. And they're already, you know, going to be up against it eventually with some of their guys getting more expensive. So like, are we sure about this? And I asked around, I asked, does this feel like Kessler insurance? And nobody could give me any kind of definitive answer. Utah is playing this insanely close to the vest. I think the Lakers are playing this insanely close to the vest. And yet to me, now that you know that you've lost LeBron James, now that you know that this plan has definitely cost you LeBron, to me, it's like, do whatever it takes to maximize this opportunity in front of you for what you planned it to be in the first place. So I think this involves either going to Utah or going to Detroit and talking to those teams about who would be and doing whatever you can possibly to back channel to find out which team is less likely to bring their guy back if that guy gets an offer that they aren't comfortable with. And then you kind of go from there, because if it isn't Kessler and if it isn't Duren, I'm sorry, this LeBron thing just doesn't seem worth it. The next option that the Lakers have at center is a sign and trade with Cleveland, where you send LeBron to Cleveland. Now, I know a lot of people would jump to this immediately, meaning Jared Allen. I actually think you would trade for Jared Allen into your cap space and make it possible for them to sign and trade for the Lakers to sign LeBron and send him to Cleveland for like Max Strus or somebody like that. And, you would kind of go from there. You would have, that would make the Mamu interest make some sense, because I think with Jared Allen, you would want a variety of looks. Allen does make $30 million next year, $28 million next year. So it would cut into about half of that cap space, but by renouncing LeBron and hopefully maybe like, I think Rui is probably back. And so if you go with, you go into next year with a starting lineup of Austin, Luka, Rui, Allen, and then a fourth player who you would either use a exception on, or you would trade for using Vando and Dalton and Ayton. Maybe you go that way. Maybe you sign Mamu and you go with a two big lineup. That's probably the least likely version of this, because I don't see JJ Redick starting games with a two big lineup. But that's a path here. I know it seems likeliest that LeBron goes to Golden State, and in that case, the Lakers don't get anything for him. He just goes there via, you know, free agency and probably signs with the mid-level exception and finishes his career out there. I would imagine the Lakers and Warriors would have, if they haven't already, conversations about Bronny James going to Golden State, whether that's waiving him and having him go there on his own, or whether that is trading something for Bronny and the Lakers get something back for him. I do think that he is worth like a second round pick, a conditional second round pick or something like that. The funniest outcome there would be like pods for Bronny, which would make me laugh pretty hard as well. But yeah, like I think you have the Cavs sign and trade option. You have the Kessler Durin Big Max offer to, or the third and least exciting option here is Mitchell Robinson being signed to some $15 million number. Mamu being signed to some $10 to $12 million offer. The rest of their cap space used on a wing likely, and, you know, or, you know, acquiring a wing that way, like Cam Johnson into their cap space. Whatever is left over there, would be, I think, a possibility if Denver would be open to it. And then you kind of, go into next year with Austin, Luka, Johnson, Rui, and, in the center, the, you know, Mitchell Robinson or, you know, whatever. And that's how, and I'm going to be honest. I don't think that team is any better than last year's team. Might fit a little bit better. Longer term, there's, you know, a pathway for the Lakers to continue to make some sense there. And you don't lose a $30 million player for nothing eventually, that you can't replace. In this case, the Lakers lose LeBron for nothing, but they have the cap space to at least replace that cap slot. I just it's like I've been saying all along. I know that the Lakers plan for this. I bet there are people in the Lakers organization who have been looking forward to this. That relationship between LeBron and the Lakers hasn't been the healthiest, I would say, the last few years. And as such, you know, I think the Lakers were always kind of hell-bent on carrying this plan out. That said, it better fucking work, man, because if it doesn't and you go into next year and your team is barely better than last year's team, I just don't think that's good enough for this. That brings me to my final point before I dive into the Q&A aspect of this show. And that is that the pressure is now 100% on Rob Pelinka. This is his plan. They got to this moment by way of saying goodbye to Rich Paul and to LeBron and to Clutch. They have completely extricated themselves from the Clutch business. And for the most part. And, now there is nobody else that Rob can use as a meat shield, or there's nobody else, even if he attempts to, that he can use as a meat shield. Either this works out or he's fired, period. Either the Lakers are a lot better on opening night this year than they were the last time we saw them, or Rob Pelinka is fired. And that is the standard that we have to set here. And every reporter who doesn't make that point here today or over the course of this, they're carrying water. Every fan has to, like, this has to be crystal clear. Either this works or you're gone. And, like, setting aside the basketball aspect of this, if you're Mark Walter, how much money did Rob Pelinka just cost you today? You were about to benefit from the LeBron, you know, retirement tour. You were, you know, like LeBron jersey sales gone. You know, the just collective interest that follows LeBron everywhere he goes gone. And not only that, it's probably going to a division rival and the only team or one of the few teams that is worth more than the Lakers. So if you're Mark Walter, and I know that Rob Pelinka has run this plan by Mark Walter, and I'm sure they are on the same page at the onset of this plan. But if this doesn't work out, Mark Walter has to follow through here and give Rob Pelinka the Ned Colletti treatment. All right. Go ahead. Try to execute your plan. By the way, when are you getting our assistant GM? When's that happening? So it's like either this works out or it's new people. Everybody. Rambai, gone. Genie, gone. Rob, gone. All of those people. I know that there's probably something written in the sale of this thing that Genie Buss gets to, you know, continue, you know, running day-to-day operations of the Lakers. If this plan doesn't pan out, then it is time for Mark Walter to step in and say, you can represent us at governor's meetings, but as far as basketball operations, all your people are gone. Because, you know, the Lakers, look, it was a flawed trio. And maybe they weren't of the caliber to win a championship for sure. But if, like, I am pretty confident that that team would have won a bunch of games in the regular season. And if they were healthy, I think they probably win two rounds. If they have like a better center on their team, they probably win two rounds of the playoffs. And at that point, you see who your matchup is from there on out. But this, like the floor on this plan is so much lower than the floor on the previous roster. And if this doesn't work out and if the Lakers are worse and this puts at risk Luka Doncic's eventual departure to where he and his people start putting, you know, chess pieces into places that eventually lead to his departure because the Lakers just said goodbye to LeBron after LeBron or Luka and LeBron enjoyed playing together last year. If this doesn't pan out, Rob has to go. And it's just that simple. Anybody else trying to nuance their way through this is doing so disingenuously. It's just that I've wanted him gone for a long time. I think it's bullshit that Rob Pelinka gets to stick around here when LeBron has shown the door. It screams of workplace politics over the meritocracy that sports are supposed to be. But all right, Rob, you got your wish. LeBron's gone. Clutch is gone. There was that reported tension between LeBron and Clutch and Genie and Rob and this whole who deserves credit for the Lakers resurgence after LeBron got there. All right. You got your wish. You get to prove to people that you were responsible for that. When not a single person with three IQ points to rub together thinks that to be true. But still, let's see how this plays out. And if it doesn't work out, see you later, bud. All right, let's dive into the Q&A here. Had a whole bunch of people really, really excited about today, which I find interesting. Let's go ahead, though. And I did see a couple of super comments, so let's play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right. The first super comment that I see here comes from Let's Run UNLV. LeBron leaving LA is a fun outcome for the NBA, and this will likely lead to Genie institutional rot bust and keep his job Rob being gone faster. Yeah, I mean it certainly, like, there's no excuse here. Rob got his wish, and it's going to be interesting to see who he, like, this is part, I think, of why nobody wants to work with Rob Pelinka, is because the sense around the league is that he's going to pull somebody in to be his meat shield if this doesn't work out. But there are no further meat shields here. There are no more horcruxes that Rob can lean on if this doesn't pan out. It is time for the Lakers to have a very honest conversation with themselves about who actually was responsible for the Lakers' success. And it's always been really clear, but the only idiots in the room who thought they were responsible for the Lakers' success since LeBron showed up are the people now responsible for the Lakers navigating the time after LeBron takes off. So either you figure it out and you prove that you actually were responsible for some of that stuff, or you're gone. And Mark Walter has a responsibility to the shareholders of the Lakers and fans of the Lakers. And by shareholders, obviously, they aren't a publicly traded company. By that, I mean, you know, other investors and people like us who are invested emotionally into this team, and the entire city is invested into the Lakers. Like, everything is better in Los Angeles when the Lakers are good. Everything is better in Los Angeles when the Lakers and Dodgers are good. And everything is better in Los Angeles when the Lakers and Dodgers and Rams are good. And right now, the team that is a distant third place in terms of proximity to championship contention is the Lakers, right? Dodgers have two straight World Series wins. The Rams were a game away from the Super Bowl last year, it felt like, and just added Myles Garrett this summer. So for the Lakers, it's like, all right, you're falling behind, and you just said goodbye to LeBron at a time where his at the very least his farewell tour, his retirement tour, was about to line Mark Walter's pockets to a pretty incredible extent. Now it's like, all right, Jeannie, Rob, and by the way, there are a lot of people who used to work for the Lakers who are looking at this like, all right, let's see how this plays out. You've said goodbye to a whole bunch of people that you try to use as meat shield, or successfully used as meat shield, as they are no longer with the Lakers, obviously. Now it's like, all right, either you guys start, you know, the snake starts eating itself, or Mark Walter just comes in and gets rid of the snake altogether. Let's see. The next question here comes from, I know we got a couple more, so, and I got to run to a haircut appointment. All right. I think that's it. Did I miss any? I don't think I missed any. I wish they used to show like super comments in their own. Yeah, that's it. All right. I am going to pop out here and go and get my haircut and then come back and talk to Harrison about when we're going to record a little bit later tonight. But yeah, as of now, the breaking news is that LeBron James is no longer going to be a Los Angeles. You know what? That's what I'll do. That's what I want to do really quickly. I want to look back really quickly on the LeBron era. And first and foremost, I would say that he single-handedly resuscitated the Lakers as a brand. He is solely responsible for the Lakers, you know, getting out from behind the Jim Buss era and immediately hitting the ground running in the ways that they did. LeBron signed as a free agent, and you can say it's because he wanted to, you know, work on movies or live in Los Angeles or whatever. But at the end of the day, LeBron chose the Lakers at a time when he like would have been perfectly fine. And everybody would have understood if he didn't want to play in with the Lakers, given that they were like still reeling from the worst stretch in franchise history. He shows up. He's patient initially with the plan of combining his efforts with the young core that they had there. That first season doesn't go the way that they wanted it to. He and Clutch pull the strings that they need to behind the scenes to get Anthony Davis. Obviously, that leads to a championship. And that, to me, is one of the most fulfilling championships in my time as a sports fan. just think about everything that we as Lakers fans, everybody around the world were going through at that time, right? With COVID and all that stuff. But Lakers fans also were still mourning the loss of a legend. Kobe dies and we're all just looking for any kind of positivity to latch onto. And that team gave it to us in droves. We win that championship and it obviously never satisfied that loss that we felt, because how do you even try to satisfy that loss that we felt? But it at least gave us a reprieve from it for a little bit. And it gave us a reprieve from the brutal times that COVID had everybody going through. It was a beautiful championship that I'm always going to remember. That is one of my favorite collections of basketball talent ever. Full stop. And then, you know, like there were a couple complicating factors in, you know, involved with LeBron and the Lakers. First and foremost, you look at how many people are in the chat right now celebrating the fact that this guy is gone, like thrilled about the fact that LeBron is gone. And whether it's Kobe, whether it's political, whether it's whatever it might be, there are a lot of Lakers fans who at no point at its highest peaks begrudgingly thanked LeBron for a championship. And you know, ever since have basically waited for the day that this guy is gone. And I think that is a thing that happened. And I think it's a bummer that that was ever a thing. I also think internally, there were some tensions there that were born from the rivalry that LeBron shared with Kobe. I don't know to what extent Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka supported LeBron tying Kobe in championships. I don't know to what extent, you know, like what kind of patience they had for LeBron compared to the kind of patience that they would have had for Kobe. Or I do know it, and it pales in comparison. And I think a lot of the way that the last few years have gone between LeBron and the Lakers, where the Lakers were just kind of riding out the string with LeBron being there, had a lot to do with the fact that LeBron wasn't Kobe. And there's nothing that LeBron can do about that. And I think that's a bummer. But at the end of the day, LeBron helped navigate us through some of the darkest times of, you know, being a Laker fan, whether that be the end of the Jim Buss era, whether that be Magic Johnson's departure from the franchise, whether that be Kobe's death, whether that be COVID and all of that. Like, yes, the Russell Westbrook trade was a critical disaster that slammed the championship window shut. And LeBron played a role in that. Now, he didn't play the, you know, such a role that he was a central figure in it, or the central figure in it, to the extent that the Lakers would love everybody to think is the case. But at the end of the day, like there were ups, there were downs, just like there were ups and downs of any player being anywhere for 8 years. And I'm always going to be grateful for the time that LeBron gave us. I loved watching him play basketball. I loved watching him figure out Rubik's Cube after Rubik's Cube as the Lakers just kept on having him go into series after series after series as the underdog. And the one time that the Lakers went into series as favorites, you know, and were healthy, LeBron got them a championship. So in that sense, I'm always going to be thankful. I'm going to be rooting for him and rooting for the end of his career to go smoothly wherever it is that he goes, unless the Lakers are playing against them, obviously. But yeah, thanks, Bron. This was fun. It was fun. It sucks that it's a little underwhelming, to be completely honest, but I don't think it's underwhelming because of LeBron. I think it's underwhelming because of the ineptitude that surrounded LeBron while he was a Laker. All right, I am going to go ahead and peace out of here and go get my haircut, like I said, and then Harrison and I'll be back on either later today or tomorrow. And until then, and until the next time you guys hear from me, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys in a little bit.
Bye, everyone.